Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Bruston Nordman, KBN on 94.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and streaming live at ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube. The 414 Hour on KBN is brought to you by Siding Unlimited. Siding Unlimited is Wisconsin's leader in Pella window installation. Looking for new windows, siding, roof, and doors? Visit them at SidingUnlimited.com.
It's the 414 Hour at 4 on KBN.
Skull!
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 The way the crowd got into it with the defense, there's nothing better. I would probably say defensive celebrations after a turnover are better than touchdown celebrations.
Yes. Especially when everyone gets involved.
The whole group comes in, like the way they like wave each other on, like I love it.
Yeah, that is fun. It's all about team.
It's fun.
Nobody's getting fined for that, are they?
Well, and they get to do that like once.
You turn your mic off.
Sorry, that would be important. Defenses get to do that like once a month, right? Like where it's like a real, legit team celebration. Offenses, every week you get a touchdown. You can celebrate. Yeah. Defenders, oh boy, do they love a team celebration.
Come on, come on, let's go down there.
Everybody together now.
That does seem very fun, especially after that huge momentum shifting play where you get to celebrate.
Yes, the big thing is
the crowd didn't skip
I don't know how they fix their problems because I think like their quarterback situation is what it is. And so the good news is I have the utmost confidence either the Packers are playing for nothing in Week 18 or they're going to beat the snot out of them. And so they can't, like, do anything back at you this year, you know?
Yeah, I don't think JJ's getting better.
Yeah, I mean, what would be the fear? You go to Minnesota and they do do a leap and they try to replicate
just
the Lambeau
leap.
Just
real quick, I think it's something, because it's still so early in the season, we haven't acknowledged. The Packers have officially won more NFC North games this year than they did a year ago in its entirety.
2-0?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They went 1-5 last year. It's kind of nuts, given that they were an 11-win team.
Stat of the day from Alex Stroh. I'm Ben Brust next to Kyle Wallace and Brad Norman.
You get no amusement out of that?
Well, I mean, like, I thought of it when, like,
What it tells me is the hurdle was so low last year. Like, that
in terms
was
of the rest of the schedule?
1-5 in your division is so bad last year.
Right.
So the fact that they've only played two games, they've already cleared that hurdle, it's impressive and it should be celebrated for sure. But like it just tells me that last year's division games, that's just they did horribly last
year. I can't
believe
the Packers have all these division games at the end of the season.
I kind of love it.
I love backloaded division
games.
Would
you as a player like this?
I would like that.
Not as a punter, but your other teammates that you talk to have to grind the divisional games.
My teammates would tell me I loved it. My teammates would love it. It's fun knowing that everything's in front of you, right? I mean, when you play, there is something about December divisional games that are just so exciting. There's a different juice in the crowd, and it's kind of fun when you. When you play a team and then you play them again in like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, that always seems odd when you play a team twice within 3 weeks.
It is odd. It doesn't happen commonly, but obviously the Packers are going to do that with the Bears. Yeah.
The Giants and Eagles did that earlier
today. Yeah, and it's it can make strange things happen because it's really hard to beat a team two times doing that. One of the reasons why I think Packers probably split with the Bears because it's just hard to do. But I think having divisional games late is one of the most brilliant things the NFL has done because it makes things move so much. It makes games matter, and it means that guys are playing on the field with just that much more juice.
And, I mean, the way the NFC North is shaking out this year, I mean, all these games, as you said, are going to completely matter for the Bears, the Lions, and the Packers. Having all these divisional games is going to be clutch and fun to see.
Yeah, I mean, with all that being said, with, you know, all these games mattering and the bulk at the end of it, the Packers' season is the next 2 weeks, right? I mean, if they go 2-0, they beat the Detroit Lions and the Chicago Bears, the Packers are going to win the division.
That puts them at what?
You can stamp that.
9-3-1?
They'd be 9-3-1. Here's why. If the Packers beat Detroit and they beat the Bears, they're going to win the division. It's not a statistical certainty, but it's a Brad Nortman stats plus gut certainty, and here's why.
Ooh,
the Packers will win the division if they get to 11 wins. 11 wins will win the Packers the division. That'd be what? 11-5-1 is what the record would be. An opposing team, like the Bears and the Lions, would have to get 12 wins to beat them, right? The 12-4 would obviously beat them, but if they have 11 wins to higher losses, the Packers would win that tiebreaker. So if the Packers then have 9 wins, they only need 2 wins the rest of the year. One of those is going to be the Minnesota Vikings. Like the
especially
Minnesota,
if they're playing for something.
The Minnesota Vikings are not going to beat the Packers in week 18. So then you're telling me that between the Broncos, the Bears, and the Ravens, not an easy stretch, but you got to win one game out of those three. If the Packers can win on Thanksgiving against the Bears, it'd be easy money. The Packers will win the division, because also the other side of the coin is Chicago gets a loss, Detroit gets a loss, Bears play the Eagles on Black Friday. They're going to lose that game. I know the Eagles are sort of in a funk right now.
You're putting a lot of The Packers are going to win. The Bears are going to lose.
I'm several chess pieces ahead, boys. My mind is like a guy who's like trying to solve a conspiracy behind him. So the Bears would have to then finish and win 4 straight, or the Lions would have to finish and win 5 straight. That's just not going to happen. Packers win Thanksgiving and against the Bears. They're going to beat the Vikings. You just got to win one game, and then the rest of the teams have to win out. This is not going to happen.
Brewer's math, but Brad math.
Yeah.
Green Bay Packers.
It's projecting and prognosticating with a little bit of gut.
I think you're prognosticating and projecting for the Green Bay Packers, if they do win those two games, it is a foregone conclusion that the Green Bay Packers are going to make the playoffs and they're going to win the NFC North. Because with those two games, it isn't just two victories. Those are two victories against very good football teams. I mean, listen, the Lions are still a very good football team. The Bears are not bad this year. They don't suck. The Bears still suck. The Bears don't suck this year. They beat bad teams. Now, they're going to have to, step their game up as they go with the rest of their schedule. But the Green Bay Packers playing the Bears, they don't suck this year.
The quarterback, Strofe, Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams sucks.
Does he suck still to you?
TBD. We'll see. TBD, we'll see.
I will say Ben Johnson doesn't suck.
Ben Johnson does not suck. But if you win those two games...
You can finish your thought. If you
win those two games, the Green Bay Packers have momentum. The Green Bay Packers have confidence. And that means the Green Bay Packers are now hitting their stride, winning 4 games in a row as they get ready for that final stretch. So, yes, the Green Bay Packers, if they win these next two games, you can crown them the NFC North champions.
A lot of looking ahead.
Be buying the gear already.
Brad Nortman and Kyle Wallace over to the KBN Sports Desk with Alex Stroh.
This from ESPN Stats and Info. The Chicago Bears, the third team in NFL history to have 8-plus wins and a negative point differential through 11 games. Of the season.
Oh, wow.
That's crazy.
All their games are close. All their wins are close. They got
stomped.
Yeah,
and then the Lions 52-21 them or something.
So, but they find a way to win. I give them credit because
the Steelers do have a winning record, right? That would be the first time they beat a team this season with a winning record.
Yes.
With the backup quarterback.
With Mason Rudolph.
And they still put up 20.
I mean, they're not an easy out. They're not a doormat. You're going to have to earn it. And it'll still be hard to beat them 2 times in 3 weeks. But I just look at this and say, if the Packers go 2-0 these next 2 weeks, they give them the crown. As Kyle said, crown them champion. I do not see a scenario where the Packers are not division champions.
Can I play devil's advocate without any of our shenanigans of you hate, real talk here. So, let's say they do go to 9-3-1, right? They beat the Lions and they beat the Bears. You're looking at the Ravens, who are playing for the AFC East, or is it East?
North.
North. You're playing the Broncos on the road, which is going to be a tough game against the defense. Kyle will be
there. Can't wait!
You're playing the Bears again, who, as you just said, are no doormat.
No easy out.
So... I don't know. It's hard because saying they'd go 0-3 is really hard.
Can we agree that they're going to beat Minnesota if it matters?
Yes.
Okay.
But so then it comes down to
can they just get
Denver,
one win?
Can they get one out of those three? As again with the logic of Brad saying it's hard to beat a team in that short of time frame twice.
That's true.
In the Bears,
it is hard to do.
Playing Denver on the road will be very tough, and then Lamar's Lamar. In the regular season. So that's just my taking Brad's 2-0 and expanding on it and automatically crowning. I think it just might be a tad early. I think if they beat the Lions I guess you did have the Bears losing to the Eagles.
That is an assumption.
You know what I mean?
Embedded.
Like, if you have that assumption, then I'm with you. But if you just take it from a pure Packers standpoint, to get to 11 wins, I don't know if it's as easy as they're making it out to be. And you're already assuming winning two games.
And I will.
Your model is right.
There's some embedded assumptions.
I think with all the assumptions you're making, it's a little strong based off of the Packers' inconsistencies in the first time that they've showed what they can do in a compliment or a game against a bad quarterback. Now, I believe that this team can utilize that despite who they played to instill some confidence, get Jaden Reed back? Micah Parsons is a beast. Jordan Love's been not turning it over all season long and playing at a high level. Yeah, I have confidence in the Green Bay Packers, but their schedule shakes out into something where we haven't seen them play as many good teams throughout a consistent week-to-week basis. That's the only scary thing in your model.
I get that, and I get that the season ends in a challenging fashion, right? And you got to be able to get one of those wins between those three games. The other side of this coin is what the Bears and the Lions need to do if they're going to, you know, because let's fast forward. Let's assume this happens. Let's assume that the Bears lose to the Eagles. Let's assume that the Packers go 2-0 over these next 2 weeks, right?
I wonder what the probabilities are of those two things, genuinely speaking.
Yeah, well, let's say Packers winning each game and then the Bears losing. So those three things, it's probably like a 20% chance, 20 to 30% chance. So that's what I'm saying. Like, if this happens, the Packers have a game and a half lead, at least on the Lions, and a game and a half lead on the Bears. Right, and the Bears have a tough schedule the rest of the way. The Browns, meh, but the Packers again, the 49ers, and the Lions don't necessarily have an easy out either. They play the Rams still. The Cowboys who are playing better. Pittsburgh with Aaron
Rodgers. Healthy Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, so your model with the strength of schedule for the others, if they do with all the assumptions that you say.
It's a lot of assumptions. We're assuming
I can get
now.
Behind the Brad Nordman model with gut.
And Brad, you're talking about teams that all are competitive, right? Like, all those teams you just listed off other than the Browns, I believe, are playing for something as well.
Yes, and that's
you
the
use
thing.
The word competitive a lot. I'm glad you said playing for something like playoffs or have a winning record because you used the word competitive with the New York Giants 2 weeks ago.
And that's the thing, right? If
so I'm playing that way, it can't finish.
Even if the Packers do go 0-3 in that stretch, you're talking about the Bears or Lions being able to get like just one loss, almost winning out the whole way. That's what it would take for them to then take the division. So it's a high hurdle for either the Lions or the Bears, even if the Packers go 0-3 in that stretch. It just goes to show that these divisional games, right? So you can sweep the Lions. You'd be at least go 1-1 with the Bears, and you're talking about shifting the standings just in the snap of a fingers and having one final game against the Vikings. These next two games, I usually don't do this, especially like as a former player, and like you don't want to say, oh, these two next week represent the season, but I'm doing that because this uniquely sets up where you're playing the other top teams in the NFC North and how that goes for you, and then the rest of the year, it is not a mathematical certainty.
What do they say about assumptions, Bradley? Did your parents teach you that?
Yeah, it's a, you know,
makes a butt out of you and me.
Yes, that's the right way to put it. That's the PG way to put it.
PG around here, PG. Victory Stamp Monday that. Is brought to you by Liquor Mart. Did I say Mickerlart? I think I did. Love,
yeah,
Jose. National Liquor Mart on 16th National in Milwaukee. Stock up on the best beer, liquor, seltzer, and spirit deals in town. Open 9 to 9 daily. Your game day headquarters all season long. All right. Strofe, what'd you think of the assumption predictive gut model?
Are you convinced?
Brad Nordman.
I have a follow-up for that we can get to on the other side. Ooh. I need about 3 or 4 more minutes.
Okay. Wow. Well, luckily, that's how much time you have. Next.
You're listening to Kyle Brusten Nordman, KBN.
And you're disrupting my flow.
No, your flow.
Dang nabbit.
I had a good flow.
Gee golly willikers.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Oh, it won't be long now before I get in the car, drive home, and every time I do, I'm reminded, boy, my car is beautiful on the inside and out. That's all thanks to Tsunami Express Car Wash. They are the premier car wash destination. Hey, you're in the southeastern Wisconsin area. I'm reminded of that every time that I get in my car because it's that outside reflective clean and those interior clean. We have the free vacuums and do-it-yourself detailing tools. Man, it just feels like I drove my car right off the lot. And right now, they have a Black Friday deal that you, KBN Nation, are going to want to take advantage of you. Of 10 isn't just the number of the quarterback in the green and gold. 10 is the number of dollars that will cost you for your first month of any Tsunami Express membership. That's right. For $10, you can get your ride looking showroom ready all month long. But you got to hurry. This deal starts today and it ends November 30th. So it's available for in-store members, for in-store offers for new members only. So if you want that $10 first month of your Tsunami Express membership, go into the store, tell them you're a new member, and they're going to hook you up. Your first wash is always free. So stop by and start saving today. Make that car beautiful with Tsunami Express Car Wash.
It is a Victory Monday brought to you by National Liquor Mart on 16 and National in Milwaukee. Stock up on the best beer, liquor, seltzer, and spirit deals in town. Open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. daily. Your game day headquarters all season long. Strofe, have you cooked something up as Brad Nortman has created the Brad Modulator of predictive probabilities of Packers winning the NFC North, assuming they win the next two games and the Bears lose to the Eagles?
Sort of. So I would like to introduce you to something I didn't know existed until about 10 minutes ago called the Monte Carlo simulation.
Oh, yeah.
Monte Carlo.
We do that in finance all the time.
Can we get a little information on this Monte Carlo thing?
Computational technique.
Can I describe what it is?
Probably better than stroke.
Yeah, what is a Monte Carlo?
In financial planning. Monte Carlo is
make it fun.
Usually it's the standard is 10,000 simulations. So you set your parameters and you let things run and you simulate it 10,000 times. And it's supposed to tell you what your level of success is for anything. So if we're thinking about how Strofe, what's it going to take for you to retire at age 65, whatever else?
We 0%.
Put your information in there.
We can run 5 million simulations.
And it'll tell you the percentage likelihood of the output you are looking for based on 10,000 simulations. Strofe, the floor is yours.
So, I 5X that.
Whoa!
50,000 simulations.
Wow.
That's a lot of simulations.
I've got the most likely final record for each of these teams in the NFC North. We'll start with the Minnesota Vikings, 7-10.
Is this assuming 2-0, or this is just randomizing
prior
from
to the 2-0, I will get there.
Okay.
Let the man cook.
Sorry.
This is strictly Monte Carlo as of today without any predetermined outcomes for future games. 7-10 for the Vikings. They will take last place in the division. They'll win 3 more games.
On 50,000 simulations, I'm excited.
50,000 simulations.
Third place in the NFC North is the Green Bay Packers at 10-6-1.
Ooh. What? Well, if the Vikings were 1-7, one of those games would probably get the Packers. Because that means they had to win 3 games.
The Bears in second place at 11-6.
Is this AI?
Yes. 11-6 for the Bears and 11-6 for the Lions as well. So the way the Monte Carlo views this is that these teams will beat up on each other. Now, the most likely situations in these games. Week 13 for the Packers coming up on Thursday at Detroit. It implies about a 41-45% win chance for Green Bay. Therefore, the most likely result is the Packers will lose a close game. Then, week 14, they return home to host the Bears. And it says the Packers win convincingly. Mm. Most likely result. Now, if they win the next two against Detroit and Chicago.
Oh.
It is very likely the Packers have at least a record of 12-4-1.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my. I will say, I was scanning the internet for a different playoff simulator. I knew Strofe was doing something back there, so I'm like, I got to figure out a way to combat him if he comes back and tries to poke holes in my argument. So I just did, I don't even know what this website is
called.
You didn't
think of Monte Carlo, but he did?
Amazingly, I didn't. Yeah. I just went into some embedded playoff simulator. I typed in.
Wait, how did you run into Monte Carlo?
Oh, ChatGPT.
Okay.
Did it say, I will run a Monte Carlo?
It did, yes.
Oh,
did.
Wow,
yes,
there you go. Yes. They're so smart. It's so smart. I just typed in NFL playoff predictor.
You type like that with fingers?
I do peck with the index fingers.
Like
I used to cheat. One of the only places I ever felt like, you know, where I could cheat. When we were doing typewriting class, I'd like look under the typewriting thing. I could never do home row. Hated typing. Anyway, so I did. I said the Bear. I did. You know, picked three games. Right, the Bears lose to the Eagles. I had the Packers beat the Lions, and I had the Packers beat the Bears. And I said, go ahead and simulate all the rest of it. Wouldn't you know it, the Packers, 12-4-1, the number two seed in the NFC, winning the division. They ran their many simulations. So it doesn't say like, oh yeah, it's going to happen with a 90% chance.
So did we run simulations to tell us what we already knew, which is the
next two games,
which we were all talking about before the Vikings game, having three straight divisional games was going to determine the outcome of the Green Bay Packers season?
Yep, you got it.
But isn't it fun to throw some math behind
everybody.
It?
I want to know who Monte Carlo is and how they have a car and a model named after him. My goodness.
Monte Carlo is the city
in France.
Paris? In Paris. In France.
France.
Yeah.
Well,
apparently High Rollers Casino.
Have you been there?
I have not. I want to go, though.
You've been to Paris, though, right?
Yeah. Paris is great.
It is beautiful, isn't it?
Have you been to Paris?
No, I have not.
You?
Come on now. You've been to Paris?
I was going to say, you're kind of a world traveler.
I am. What, Ben didn't believe I was a world traveler?
You're kind of a sneaky world traveler.
So I don't know if they go direct to Paris.
Here's the thing, though, with Kyle.
Like, I've been all over the world.
Kyle's been all over the world sneakily, but he, like, refuses to fly with a nice company.
Nah, when you fly internationally.
Domestically.
I've been to Nigeria.
What?
Oh, my gosh. I wasn't doing the show when I went to Nigeria.
Minute. I feel like
for a wedding?
I feel like I've heard you say that you prefer airlines that you're accustomed to, even international. You take in airlines that...
No. I dealt the big four.
Yeah.
No, I'm only flying the big four, and I just said the one I love.
If the Packers win the next two games, by the way, their chance to win the division is 68%.
That's it?
I mean, that's pretty high.
Chicago would still have a 22.5% chance despite losses to both Philadelphia and Green Bay in this scenario.
Then AI's stupid.
And Detroit, it's 100.
Because it's not taking into account that point differential
Detroit
that we talked about.
Detroit would be down to 10%.
They're just looking at records. They don't know enough.
It's 100%.
They're not looking at Caleb Williams.
You dumb
Brad
AI.
Brad Norton dumb. Model.
Yeah, honestly... I trust Brad over AI on these percentages.
Yeah, let's go, Ben.
68% chance.
Monte Carlo, bro.
To win the division if they go 2-0.
Benny, Monte Carlo.
Okay, don't try and act
Carlo,
smart
bro.
Back there. Just
Monte Carlo, it's a computation technique.
When's the last time you did 50,000 of anything?
When's the last time you used the word computational in a sentence?
I've never used it.
That's my point. Monte Carlo, bro.
I can computationally tell you that I don't like Monte Carlo.
So if Monte Carlo is telling you 68% chance, are you believing Monte Carlo or you believe in Brett?
That's what I'm saying. I'm literally saying
vote.
If they win the next two games, I would 100% say that it's above 68% chance.
Yeah, I think I will say that.
It's also worth correcting that Monte Carlo is technically in Monaco. Which is South France.
Oh!
It's in Monaco, which is the second smallest country in the world.
Wait.
Monaco is southern France.
But what do you mean it's the second smallest country?
Yeah, it's not. It's a country. It's not in France. It's just like a...
Wait.
I'm so confused.
Monte Carlo is in Monaco. Monaco's not
in France.
Technically in France.
It's just south of France.
I think it used to be, technically.
Oh, wow. Liberation? Independence Day?
Wow.
Good for them.
I didn't know that.
Rebellion. Powerful.
Nerd Brad is my favorite.
You got any more? Any of you brainiacs? You're a fake brainiac, by the way.
Independence Day? Liberation? Good for them.
Rebellion.
Do you guys have anything more from your simulators?
I'm just blown away that Monaco is not in France.
Monaco left during the French Revolution. Which lasted from 1793 to 1814.
That's a long time ago.
It is like a sliver of land.
After being annexed by France, Monaco regained its independence in 1814, though its sovereignty.
I think it's really expensive to live
sovereignty.
There.
Was formally restored and redefined by a treaty in 1861.
This would be like Delaware saying, we're just going to be our own country.
It's smaller than that. It's tiny.
This is like Milwaukee. This is
France,
like Milwaukee
take
saying
them back.
We're our own country.
They ain't got no military.
Hey.
Roll over them. They don't care about borders no more. Roll over them.
Does Monaco have an army?
Hell no. That's Slitherland. Ain't no way. That Monaco Army, that's everybody.
Where would you train? You can't.
Where would you train?
Monaco does not have a traditional army.
It's all yachts.
It has militarized police.
That's all it has?
They have a police force?
Population is only 38,000.
Oh, wow.
It's like Brookfield.
That's crazy.
It's like where you grew up.
Smaller than Brookfield. Brookfield's like 70,000.
Dylan in the 262, wow. Geopolitics with KDM. Let's go.
They depend on France for external defense. So they got their play freedom.
Brookfield, Wisconsin is 10,000 more people than the country of Monaco.
That is insanity.
But Monte Carlo.
Monte Carlo. See, it's all about branding. You know, they're just really branding themselves at this Monte Carlo simulations. Brookfield needs this. Brookfield needs this level of branding. And then we can be taken seriously, huh?
The Brookfield. We'll call your simulation the Brookfield.
I'm the Brookfield against the Monte Carlo.
Yes.
Team Brookfield.
Bring it on.
I like your simulation better.
Bring it on, Monte Carlo.
The Brookfield simulation. This has been a life-changing segment.
My life's changed.
I'm not going to lie. I love history. I did not know Monaco was its own country. That is a good, are you smarter than Ben?
I would have known because Monaco is a race in Formula One. That's a dream of mine.
But what does that have to do with being in France?
I thought Monaco was like a region in France.
I'm smarter than used to be.
I always thought it was like a city state.
Wait, now Ben is swearing up and down. You a lie.
No, I'm not a lie.
No, you know.
My dream race is Monaco. I knew it was his own country.
Why didn't you butt in when we're talking like idiots?
You idiots go to work.
He's lying through his teeth. Yeah, he had no idea.
That's a victory Monday.
Is your life changed? Monaco. Is your life changed?
I'm telling you, I feel smarter now.
I do too.
I can't believe
I had a work meeting, so I popped out for a bit. Just tuned back, and Kyle's yelling for France to take over Monaco. What did I miss? Wheel of Strofe next.
This is Kyle Bruston Nortman.
Hey, Gabe, also, did you call us idiots?
Yeah, it's exactly what I called you. Yes.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Victory Monday is brought to you by National Liquor Mart on 16th and National in Milwaukee. Stock up on the best beer. Liquor, seltzer, and spirit deals in town open 9 to 9 daily, your game day headquarters all season long. Time now on Kyle Bruston Ortman across 94.5 ESPN, streaming on the ESPN Wisconsin app and on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee to hear from Alex Strofe on the Wheel of Strofe.
It's time for the Wheel of Strofe.
No more geopolitics in Wheel of Strofe, okay?
Let me tell you about the Vatican City.
Powerful.
Another day, another buckaroonie. Time now for the Wheel of Strofe here on KBN. I've got topics, I've got questions, I've got thoughts, I've got questions.
You never have thoughts, you just have questions.
That's not true, I got some thoughts.
Luxembourg's another one.
Not to be confused with Luxembourg, Wisconsin, right?
Wait. Do you know who the last ambassador to Luxembourg was?
No.
Tom Barrett, the former mayor of Milwaukee. He left his seat as mayor to become the ambassador of Luxembourg.
It feels like a very cush job.
Wheel of Strofe. Going for the mayor of Milwaukee. I'd take that too.
Wheel of Strofe. Any other ones?
No.
Good spin, Strofe. You were waiting for it.
Great spin.
Whoa.
No sorrow today. It's Victory Monday.
From Dan Graziano yesterday at 8:55 a.m. Aaron Rodgers arrived at Soldier Field about 20 minutes ago, walked one lap around the field, flipped off a couple of the cameras that were filming, and went back inside. Used his right hand to flip the bird, so unclear if he could do it with his left. His status for today's game is still up in the air. Ultimately, he was ruled out yesterday as the Steelers played the Bears. Also, after he was ruled out and walked to the sideline, he was yelling, "Remember I own you?" at Bears fans, while likely making his final appearance at Soldier Field. It's too bad he couldn't play, but boy, does that make my heart happy.
Yeah, I do love the Rodgers versus Bears team and fans. Some of my favorite moments of his era of the Green Bay Packers has been him just cooking the Bears. It's a shame he didn't
play. One of the most memorable was when I think the Packers were up like 42-3 at half. at Lambeau Field. And I was just like, this dude is amazing. Yeah. Also, 2018? It might have been the end of the... Yes, it was 18. Dude went to the locker room mm-hmm. on a cart with a knee. And mm-hmm. he came back and he put a dot on Geronimo Allison in the right corner of the end zone from 45 yards. And I was like, what is this guy? Who is this guy?
I love the way he walked out. He did it just like his boy, David Bakhtiari, did. David Bakhtiari walked off the field, flipped the ball.
I guess
to the
his
fans.
Last. That was it. No, wasn't
that
his last.
Was, I think that was his last
was
game.
Was his last
he ever
game
played.
As a Packer?
I think so.
I think it was.
Against the Bears.
Yep. He tried to come back. Remember, I think he tried to come back late and hurt his knee or something like that. Remember before the playoffs.
But
like
there's
that.
A great but, picture but, of it.
Yeah, it is. This is.
I'd get that framed.
Or maybe that was his last game the following year. But anyways, I love the fact that Aaron Rodgers did this. When I saw this story, I said, this isn't real. There's no way he did that. Aaron Rodgers walked around, flipped the bird.
Why would you assume that Aaron Rodgers' story isn't real?
I saw a video of him flipping birds to the cameras.
It just seemed wild. I love this about Aaron Rodgers. He will be missed when he retires from the NFL.
And I will say, this whole storyline from start to finish, you know, on the way to the Super Bowl that he won, you beat the Bears in the NFC Championship game, and you end with, I own you, flipping people off. I mean, it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing.
They hate him.
Wheel of Stroh!
They do hate him.
As they should. Good spin, Stroh.
Yeah, Stroh.
Still spinning, Stroh.
So strong.
Yellow.
Oh.
How about the mid-off of mid-offs yesterday as the Cleveland Browns head to Vegas and take down the Raiders?
That's first, not even a mid-off. That's just
bad off.
Gross
off. Trash off.
First career win as a starter for rookie quarterback Shedeur Sanders, who said this post-game to CBS Sports.
Win is crazy. It's amazing, you know. Off of 1 week of practice, you know what I mean? This 1 week of practice. So imagine, you know, what a full offseason looked like. It get dangerous. But it's just a 1 week of practice, so I'm just truly thankful, you know.
So why are you rooting against him, Stroh?
When did I say that?
In show prep today?
I didn't like how that came off.
Why didn't you just say that? I thought you had thoughts, opinions.
Well, I was. You just interrupted before I could get to that.
Oh, why are you rooting for him to fail?
I'm not rooting for him to fail, necessarily. I don't really care. He plays for the Browns. But
that's not what he said earlier.
I just, it's a little off-putting to me. You're quarterbacking a three-win team. You have been on the team the entire time. So you
how many wins do they have?
You did get a full offseason. Now three. He is responsible for one.
Yeah, I'd be pretty proud of that, too.
Joe Flacco, responsible for one against the Packers also.
Yeah. I don't think there's as much to this as people want there
I think
to
he's
be.
Better than Dylan Gabriel. But I don't know that that's necessarily a high bar. Do I think Shedeur Sanders can be a franchise quarterback? Jury's probably still out. He's super athletic, no doubt about that.
He's not
but
even
like,
that. He's not even superior.
Do you like why this was off putting to me is it was more about him than it was the team winning, and obviously that's just one clip from a 3 minute interview.
That's it. One clip from a 3 minute interview after people have been calling him cocky and all this. People didn't have a problem with Baker Mayfield being cocky.
Oh, they
people
did. They ran him out of town.
People
they
had a problem with Johnny Manziel throwing up the
Baker
money.
Baker Mayfield won them a playoff game and they got rid of him. Stupid decision.
It was a stupid decision. But no, I get it. It is off-putting just saying that. You want people to be as humble as possible, but he definitely was still humble after the game in his post-game press conference. But show me the lie. I mean, you got a coach in Kevin Stefanski that really didn't seem like he was supporting him whatsoever, and he was a third-string quarterback who didn't get first-team
reps
until this
week. He hasn't
week.
Done anything. He's won one game in the NFL.
He's the first Browns quarterback since 96, I believe, to win their debut.
There's been a lot of them.
That's a stat.
To their credit, there's been, what, 40-some of them?
Yeah. Sean Kizer, former Packer, one of them.
I think that this he's going to have like a figurative target on his back now. I think opposing defenses, opposing teams look at this guy already probably not loving the bravado, and they're just going to tee off on him.
I didn't realize until we talked about it in show prep, Deshaun Watson is still under contract with them.
He was helping yesterday.
Was he?
That's what they
did. Did you watch this game? Why do you know so much?
I support Shedeur Sanders because I thought they did that boy bogus in the draft.
Probably true.
But Deshaun
Watson mentoring Shedeur Sanders.
Well, just
is that what I'm hearing?
Well, stay away from parlors of all types.
What a place for Deshaun and Shedeur to get together in Las Vegas for his first start.
Yeah.
Wheel of Stroh.
I'm going to cut you off right there.
I was just pointing out a fact.
Well, that's actually a
pretty remarkable
odds.
Get down and give me 20. Get down and give me 20.
Have you gotten, I wonder if you've gotten stronger this year. Nah. You feel stronger?
Yeah.
Probably like granular.
1%.
Do you look in the yourself in the mirror and look different? Like physically?
I do that anyway, Brad. I'm a grown up. I'm a grown man these days. I look beautiful.
Okay. There you have
my
it.
My haircut. Self-confidence is
it's through the
it's
roof.
Something.
I mean, it's through the roof. That one thing that did rattle him was that haircut. That busted haircut last week had his confidence rattle. And then once his girl told him, you need to get it fixed, he was done. He was done.
She put a little fear in his heart.
Yeah. I don't, you know.
Hopefully so.
Yeah. So if you need to start standing up for yourself.
Yeah. You said something about like how.
Healthy
like,
fear.
She's, you gotta,
she
she's
said got, to other people it's good to have
said,
healthy
not me.
Fear. Which is all you need to hear.
I'm not scared of her.
Oh, say that closer to the mic.
Yeah,
now.
Say that closer
say
to the mic.
Closer to the mic.
I said I'm not scared of
her. Wait, closer.
I said I'm not scared of
her. Okay, yeah, I heard that loud and clear. Just like I heard on the Green Bay game day and Green Bay game night, talk about sit means sit. We did our Green Bay props and preview Friday for the dog of the game, Kyle Elandon, Emmanuel Wilson, and you know. I also saw Matt, who heads up the team at Sit Mean Sit in Milwaukee and Waukesha, swing by and tell Tausch he thought it should be Emmanuel Wilson. So you and Matt, Kyle, both had Emmanuel Wilson as the dog of the game. And if your dog doesn't always listen, you ask yourself, why don't they listen to what I say? Well, look no further than Sit Mean Sit, because Matt's team will have that free consultation with you and then figure out the needs for your pup so you can have that happy, confident, and obedient dog. That's Sit Mean Sit Dog Training. Go to sitmeansit.com and check out the Milwaukee and Waukesha pages. Brian Bulaga, he was live at Lambeau Field with Strofe. He'll be with us next on Kyle Bruston-Nortman before the Homer Hour.
This is Kyle Bruston-Nortman, KBN.
Homer. This might be the dumbest thing that he has to have said in his career.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. With Wildy and Tau, it's an app. I've got some famous
friends you probably never. Joining us before the Homer Hour is former Super Bowl champ who was in the flesh up in Lambeau Field in Green Bay yesterday is Brian Bulaga. What's up, Brian?
Not much. How are we doing, guys?
You were the honorary captain,
something,
is
something.
That?
He was the honorary something.
I don't know if I was honorary anything. I think it was just a distinguished alumni or whatever.
I will
call
say, he looks stellar in person. Like he's starting to look like Joe Thomas post-playing career. You've been lifting a lot?
Yeah. I work out. I work out quite a bit.
Gosh.
I try.
Why?
Brian.
Why? Because it's good for your health.
Yeah.
Brian, in my experience with linemen, you were either one of two guys. Like, it was easy to like hold and put on weight, or you had like overeat to discomfort to be able to put on weight. What kind of one were you? I'm guessing the person that had like overeat like crazy in order to keep weight.
Yeah, I had to eat a lot of food. And like, it got to the point, like, as I got older, I was getting sick and tired of eating. Like it was getting harder and harder to maintain that level of intake.
Give us a perspective on what that is. Like, what were you eating, and like, what was the most discomfortable you ever felt?
Yeah, I mean, like every morning you're eating like six eggs, and like you'd eat like obviously like bacon and eggs and sausage in that, and pancakes if they had them, and then obviously at lunch you'd have a huge lunch because then practice would they do lunch a little bit before practice, so you try to get some food before that, and then obviously at dinner you would go all out, and then maybe something a little bit later that night. Right?
Damn.
Like, so it was like
food coma.
Was this
every
day?
Especially in season, yeah. In
season, dude, how
could
you eat?
It was remarkable.
How could
to
you
see people's
eat that
plates.
Much and go practice?
Yeah, I would be slugging.
Well, I mean, they'd give us about 2 hours to like prior to like that. We'd get lunch like 2 hours prior to practice. So like, it was up to you how much you were going to eat. Right. Like, I mean, you got to choose. So like, I always tried to like get fairly good portion of like pasta, big carb load before practice. Right. And like, obviously that equals up to so many calories when you're just smashing a lot of carbs.
My stomach aches would be crazy.
Yeah.
Benny, tell me, Benny.
Yes.
To witness some of these plates were just a sight to see. But Brian, I want you to think about this for a second. I want you to cast your vote. Do you believe in the Monte Carlo simulation that says if the Packers win the next two games, they have a 68% chance of winning the division? Or do you believe the Brad Nortman simulation that says if the Packers win the next two games, there's a 100% chance they win the division?
Oh, this is like not only a Brad, but a Homerism too. Because like Homer's a 100% guy.
How about that, Homer? What a compliment.
Homer's a 100% guy.
Thank you. Not on this. This team does not deserve 100% for anything.
Oh, wow.
Other than that, you can't count on them at 100%.
Oh, my gosh. This should be a great show.
Have fun,
show.
Brian. And,
this should be a great show. Yeah, this should be a phenomenal show.
Wait a minute. You're going to argue that this team is
if they
up
win
and down,
the next two games?
They're capable of being as crazy as they've been all year.
They're
going to
win.
Yes.
They'll win the division if they win the next two games. That's what Brad Nortman's simulation
I would
says.
Agree, but not 100%.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they win the next two, I mean, if they win the next two games, I feel really good about them winning the division. Is it 100%? I'm kind of with Homer on this.
What's it closer to, 68 or 100?
Yeah, you did declare the division over after week one or two,
I did,
Homer.
And I admitted I was wrong after a couple weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can count on this team for only one thing. You can't count on them.
I'd say it's probably closer to the 68% than it is 100%. So I'd say
Monte Carlo it is. You're going with the Monte Carlo 50,000 simulations versus Brad Nortman.
I was going to say like 75%.
With the tiebreak, with the two wins against divisional opponents, with that tie that helps after beating those teams.
I mean, I get it. Listen, but their last few games, their last chunk of this season is not easy. Like, let's just call it what it is, right? Like, it's not an easy end to the schedule.
Mm-hmm. Other than Minnesota at the end. Because
do you count that as a W right now?
Yes, I do.
Okay, that's what we did. Yeah. So we're all aligned in that.
Yeah. Yes, they will smoke Minnesota in Minnesota.
Brian. Yeah. Obviously, we saw a big change on offensive line. Is Anthony Belton the new starting right guard for the Packers?
I would have to assume that signs are pointing that way, and I didn't hear all of Matt's presser. I just saw a couple clips, and he seemed to be very complimentary of him after the game, I think. And it seems like it's trending in that direction. And Jordan Morgan struggled early in that game. I mean, I didn't get to rewatch it because I've been traveling today, but obviously I was there watching it. And he just struggled early on, and it was with movement, right? Like simple, just little slants inside by D tackles and things like that. He just struggled a little bit yesterday. And unfortunately, we're at the point in the season that you can't have those types of things kind of derail drives, right? Like you can't have that. Like, I mean, if it was like his first start or his second start, you're starting to, you would give a little leeway in that, right? Like you'd be like, okay, like he's kind of getting used to this, but we're past that at this point. So they're going to go with the guy that they think is going to get it done. I mean, it's the same thing Homer and I talked about at the tight end position. It's the same thing that we talked about at where else did we talk about that at Homer at the DN position? It's the same thing, right? Like they're going to go with the guys that they think are going to get it done. And right now, I mean, the way Belton performed yesterday, I think they're going to go with the hot hand and they're just going to go with it. Right now. Do I think if Belton goes to Detroit and something similar happens, are they going to rotate? Most likely that's what they're going to do. Like that's how they're operating at this point at that position. That's a tough place to be mentally for an offensive lineman, knowing like, hey, man, I got a short leash here. I better perform. I mean, it's a tough place to be because you're walking on eggshells every series. But maybe pressure is what's needed a little bit. Maybe that pressure cooker is what is needed a little bit. And I'm okay with it because, like, this group, they need them to perform. And obviously Jordan with his shoulder, they need this group to protect him. By all means necessary. Like, it needs to be a sellout protecting him by all means necessary. So whatever combination they think is going to be the right one to keep him upright, you got to do what you got
to
do.
Brian, what do you say to those who thought they should have thrown on 3rd and 3 in the first drive of the fourth quarter?
No. Come on. Like, the game was – it was done. Like,
Kyle, have anything to add?
Yeah, I just say, hey, Brian, put the ball in the hands of Jordan Love to move the sticks.
I get it, but like
you know he's hurt, don't you?
Well, they threw the ball the next series.
They were I didn't say you can't throw at all. You know he's hurt.
Yeah.
In any injury, he could be done.
Well, they threw the ball the next series. Homer.
Again, I didn't say you never threw the ball. You're complaining that you didn't throw it enough.
No,
right?
No. I just said that one play.
Oh.
No, I mean I'm good.
JJ
with
McCarthy's horrible. Your defense was fine. It was out of reach.
Score touchdowns, baby. Yeah.
I think Fan Matt brain. Called a good game. I think Matt called a good game. I'll just say that.
Team Brian, Team Matt, not Team Kyle.
Called a great game.
Looking forward to Homer and Brian because you can't trust this team, according to Homer. And I don't know.
You're not all in that club.
I mean, you say I just know
they win the division and win the next two games. That's all I know.
I think they're going to win enough games, but I don't know how you can count on them for any game.
I think they're just as good as anybody
in the NFC. I think they're going to lose to Detroit.
I think they're just as good as anybody in the NFC. Well,
not the Rams.
That's, no, not the Rams.
Brian and Homer next in 2 minutes.